Joining us now for Edmonton's own Pro-Am Sports, order and submission deadline for a private signing with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is March 8th. Details in store online at proamsports.ca. We say hello to James Duthie. James, when you woke up and you powered up either your Android or your iPhone or whatever it is you communicate on, and you saw Tom Brady in that short video announcing his retirement, where did your mind go? Because you've covered a lot of him at Super Bowls.
I didn't have any huge reaction because we went through this last year.
Right.
And, you know, it did feel like a big deal last year because he is the greatest quarterback who's ever lived. And I've told you before many times my mixed feelings, how I got sick of covering him at Super Bowls just because he was there all the time and you yearn for different storylines. But at the same time, appreciated and knew that I would appreciate as time went on being there. And, you know, in 20 years and 30 years and saying, man, that was unbelievable, because I don't think there'll be another quarterback that gets back to that many Super Bowls and wins that many rings in a cap era. So I appreciated that he did it that way, because it was a bit of an eye roller last year when it was such a giant production. And then whatever it was, a couple of weeks later, he was back playing again. And so I think he at least had enough self-awareness to say, I'm not doing this again. I'm giving you a 20-second video and see you later. And if indeed this is the end, then I kind of like that quiet way of going out for him.
I always worried about the Theismann-style hit or something that was going to, not blemish, because I mean, his career is his career and his record is his record, but just for us to have these memories that aren't brilliant, and my memories are, and I'm not a Brady fan per se, except that I can appreciate what he's done. This is a pristine, brilliant, almost perfect record, and now he walks away and we don't have that terrible memory that I worried about.
Oh, for sure. And I'm sure that goes through athletes' minds and athletes' families' minds, spouses even more. I think it would have been perfect if he retired when Tampa won the Super Bowl, because the only... Look, I'm generally in favor. I'm an old school guy that loves guys spending their entire careers with one team, and that's there's a nice bow on that. But because in Brady's situation was unique, because we had this endless, is it Brady or Belichick? You know, who's the bigger factor in the Patriots dynasty? And for him to go to Tampa and win somewhere else right away, I think that would have been the perfect punctuation mark to walk away then. But you can't tell. The reason that Michael Jordan and, Wayne Gretzky or whoever, or Tom Brady are the greatest of the greatest, is because they are so competitive and they want to play forever. And I don't think it really matters that much anymore. I don't think, you know, this season where he wasn't very good, even though they made the playoffs, won't matter. Michael Jordan as a Washington Wizard,
yes,
won't really matter in people's memories. Some of Gretzky's last few seasons won't really matter. I think as time goes by, you only remember the glory stuff. And so, Brady's resume is undented by the fact that he went out with a subpar season.
Will you at some point stream or, God forbid, go to a theater to watch 80 for Brady, starring Jane Fonda, Sally Field, Rita Moreno, and Lily Tomlin? And Gronk, by the way.
I don't even think I'll do that on an airplane.
Okay.
And so I was just on an airplane, and the choices are fairly limited. So, no, I don't think that's up my alley as far as the demographic goes, David.
Yeah, I think you don't want to tarnish the memory of the China Syndrome and her other great movies that you love so much.
And I don't know, what's the last thing I saw Brady? Okay, Brady's been in Entourage. I think he had a bit on some HBO show where he was played like a clone of himself. I watched that. You know, he's okay. He's not Peyton Manning with the acting, but he's okay. But I'm sure he has some sort of role in that film as well, obviously.
Now,
he doesn't end up with, there's no sex scene with Jane Fonda or anything.
Well, dear God, we don't know. You have to watch and tell us, because we can't. So, NHL trade deadline. I'm assuming the nightmares that you might have had as a young man about the broadcast and no trades happening are gone, and now you know that you can, no matter what happens, you'll be able to manage the minutes. But is it do you sleep well the night before?
Yes, I do. Although I just realized we have a Leafs Flames game from Calgary the night before this year, which isn't an ideal situation because it won't end till 12:30 or 1 or whatever Eastern time. And I do need my sleep, guys. I'm a bit of a diva that way, where I need to get like 5 or 6 hours, or I'm kind of a useless human.
Sure.
And so I got to be back in at 6 a.m. or so. So it's not going to go well, probably. So it might be rubbernecking at an accident scene type viewing that morning. Mike Johnson, by the way, is doing that game in Calgary. I think Gord Miller, too. They'll be taking the red eye and coming straight to the set. So there could be some entertaining.
We'll be getting their best work that day for sure.
You're right. I don't worry about it too much. I think what's important is not necessarily the trades that happen, but to have stories to talk about. And, you know, I remember the Erik Karlsson year, which is probably, 4 or 5 years ago now, when the Sens were going to trade Erik Karlsson. He never actually got traded until the end of the summer. But the possibility of an Erik Karlsson trade was great fodder that can fill a lot of panels. And so I'm just hopeful that, you know, of the, you know, the Jonathan Toews or the Patrick Kane or some of the guys that are out there, Ryan O'Reilly, that at least one of them is left there lingering or Erik Karlsson on that day with the possibility of it, a real possibility of it happening. I don't want to trump something up. I don't like doing that.
Right.
But the real possibility of a trade happening with one of those big names is enough to carry us through a lot. And I think from a viewer's perspective, you know, that's why they would watch, for the possibility of something big happening. So I hope that exists. If they're all gone, or, you know, if the Hawks have decided they're not going to waive or whatever the situation is, then you got to really start fishing around for stuff.
Yeah, cue the monkey in the bullpen to come in and save the show. You're in the business of creating television, James. I don't know how much time or energy you spend looking at numbers, but the numbers in the NHL south of the border aren't great, and there was a significant downturn. What do you make of that, if anything?
Well, a couple things. First of all, and this is not an explanation of the entire dive in ratings, because that's a substantial number. But I think whenever listeners who aren't deep into radio or TV like we are, you know, hear a ratings story, they need to know this, that ratings have been going down for, you know, better part of a decade and are going to keep going down. It's a real anomaly when ratings go up on something. And that doesn't mean fewer people are watching. It means that just more and more people are either cutting their cable or, you know, finding a way to watch digitally, or finding, in the case of the younger generation, because I have 3 university-age students, you know, finding other ways at their friend's house, or unfortunately finding illegal streams and so on and so forth. I'll give you a good example. I think the all-time ratings high for the World Juniors was the Connor McDavid year in 2016. It was 7.5 million or something for the gold medal game. That was the average. And this year with the Bedard, I think it was 3.9 million. Well, I'm 100% convinced that just as many Canadians were watching this game that were watching the McDavid game. There was just as much hype. And I just, you know, you can just feel it by the conversations you're having with friends and so on. But so ratings are just going to keep going down because of the way the world works and people cutting cords on cable. That doesn't explain a 28% drop or whatever. So I think there's a few things, and there's probably 10 reasons instead of one big one. But, you know, one of the things that I hate the playoff format. I just think there was nothing wrong with 1 versus 8. And their hopes of creating these rivalries by keeping the interdivisional stuff, I don't think has worked. And as a matter of fact, I think it's worked to the opposite, where people get sick of these matchups. Or you have a situation like you have right now in the Eastern Conference, where Toronto's pretty much locked in to play Tampa again in the first round, and we got, you know, whatever it is, 35 games left in the season, which is just silly. So I think that was a mistake to go away from the 1 versus 8. The quality of hockey is great right now. I think that the hockey that we're seeing is as good as in my lifetime that I've seen, but there is not the animosity. The fact that, you know, big hits have gone from the game, and just the way the modern athlete is, I think that we're lacking in hate right now. And I'm not going, I don't want to go back to the days of endless fights or anything like that. That's not what I'm arguing for. I just think that we're really missing something as far as rivalries and true hatred between teams, and maybe that affects it as well. So those are just two of probably 10 things we could go through that I think have affected it somewhat.
So you're saying that politics has stolen the anger and the violence, and we got to get it back in sports.
You're essentially right. Social media and left versus right politics is where all the animosity in the world is now.
Got to get that back. I want to, like, is there a, in the last number of years or whatever, is there an out of the blue trade that nobody expected, like for a player that maybe you guys didn't research, but a significant enough player that you're, you know, a little bit gobsmacked on the panel, anything like that, where, because I imagine you being surprised on this particular day is unlikely.
I think I get more surprised on free agency day, where some guy will sign for a number that's just ludicrous, or, you know, a guy like even John Tavares signing in Toronto that year when, you know, I think even though it was listed as a possibility, I didn't think it was really going to happen until it happened right in the middle of that day. I can remember, I hate to keep using Leaf examples on Edmonton radio, but this one sticks out at me. And this is something Oilers fans will laugh at because it was the Leafs' idiocy at the time. But Jeff Finger was a really middle-of-the-road defenseman. And I can remember that Gord Miller came on and reported on free agency day that Jeff Finger had signed, I'm going to get this wrong, but let's say it was a three-year contract, $4 million. Right. And so he said that, and we went to break, and I'm like, Gord, that's $4 million total, right? Not $4 million a year. And Gord goes, I think it's $4 million a year. I'm like, Jeff Finger can't be getting paid $4 million a year. And Gord had to call back whoever his source was with the lease. And I could hear the guy yelling in the phone saying, yeah, it's $4 million a year. All right.
And sensitive that was already,
one of the lunacy moments of people overpaying on free agency day. So
yeah,
those moments stick out more to me than on trade deadline. Like I wish, and maybe that's a reflection of the last question you guys just asked me about if there's something wrong with hockey and less interest, Alan Davis. That there aren't the surprises like that. There aren't enough of them anyway. And maybe the insiders do too good of a job, or there's just so much time to talk about the lead up that we never get this surprising blockbuster seemingly ever in hockey. Now, I may have just forgotten. There could be a couple of really good ones that I don't remember over the last couple of years. But I think that's a big thing, again, in comparison with the NBA,
right?
The lack of player movement, the fact that teams are so tied up by the cap. You know, the fact that in the NBA you have like these super, every year it seems like five of the top 10 players in the league move somewhere, and it just never happens in hockey. I think that could probably also contribute to the last discussion we were just having about ratings.
Great stuff, James. Are you on the road for Super Bowl this year?
I will talk to you from Phoenix next Thursday.
Excellent. Good stuff. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, guys.
All right. James Duthie there from TSN.